What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Yonas, again serving as your host this week. We've got a very exciting episode coming up for you guys. We'll be talking bowling national championship. I have a very exciting guest here joining me, our communications assistant, Elizabeth Kanzeg. Thank you so much for joining us, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me back. Always exciting.
Of course. We'll also be talking a little bit of baseball and softball. Eric Jones on our staff is joining us from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He's out there at our tennis championship. He'll hop on to talk a very exciting week of CUSA baseball. And then our special guest this week, Delaware catcher Sydney Schaefer, here to talk a lot about what's going on, what's going well for the Blue Hens right now, preparing to host the CUSA softball championship. So a lot of really awesome stuff in this episode, but let's get started. We have another bowling national champion. I mean, we are guaranteed it one way or another this weekend with all four teams in the final four. But Elizabeth, you had a chance to go up there to Parma Heights, Ohio and see all the action. How was it?
It was so much fun. So it was actually really funny because I had a few people that I had worked with in the past that I ran into, and they were like, oh, are you staying no matter what? Like, are you here all weekend? And I was like, well, all four teams are ours. So I'm here to the end, you know? I was like, makes my job easy because I just get to clap for everybody and smile. So, yeah, it was really exciting. Great energy, especially that last match. It was just so cool to see the ESPN setup for that final. So it was electric.
Yeah. Super awesome exposure for the sport, for the league. So again, just to remind you guys, we had Jacksonville State, Vanderbilt, Arkansas State and Wichita State, which was kind of the dark horse team that got into the Final Four out of that Arlington regional. So walk us through the action. I know there's a lot of matches, a lot of bowling to be played, but how we got there to Jacksonville State being crowned national champions once again.
Jacksonville State swept their way to the final. I mean, not that it comes as much surprise because they've been absolutely electric all season. Huge historical season for them. So it was really cool to kind of watch that transpire. And then Wichita State played gritty and found their way to the final as well. Had some good matches, big upset over number two Vanderbilt. So it was exciting, especially with the way that their season ended a little earlier at the conference tournament than they would have hoped to. And then that last match, I mean, Wichita State was rolling into the finals with a lot of momentum coming off that upset, and they did end up taking that first game in the best of seven. So for those of you that don't know, the final is played as just a best of seven. It's not the three game match like usual. So Wichita State took that first game of the best of seven, and then from there it was just all Jacksonville State, and they just rolled on through. So yeah. It was super exciting. It looked like it might have gone into that game. It looked like it was going to go into game six, I believe. And then super electric close from Gianna Brandolino to win the championship for him.
Yeah, I've talked to Gianna a couple weeks ago. I mean, she's ice cold out there, on the lanes. But still a very admirable effort by Wichita State. You know, again, we've talked about their journey, you know, how the conference tournament went. They kind of had to battle out of the loser's bracket in the regional. Here they fight as hard as they can and really just ran into a buzzsaw with a tough Jacksonville State team. Did it feel like, I mean, especially after that first Wichita State winning that first one, did you kind of feel like, oh, okay, there's a moment here, or did Jacksonville State, was it just kind of like they were determined, like it was happening one way or another?
I'm not gonna lie, I definitely, especially after Wichita State took that first game, I was like, okay, this might go a little differently than what we had all thought. But I mean, Jacksonville State really did, they just took that first game, and after that they came back and they came back strong. But I mean, Wichita State still, even though they did only take that first game, they still played great, and they made it close, and they definitely made it interesting. I mean, the fans were getting into it, and I will say Wichita State also, shout out to the Shockers fans, because they had a huge fan base. They had signs, they were cheering loud, and they made the environment super exciting. So, I mean, definitely a great effort by them. Nothing to hang their hat on. I know they got so close, but they still, they made it fun.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad that you got that experience to go see an NCAA national championship event and got a chance to go home, celebrate your birthday on Sunday. Happy belated birthday as well.
Thank you.
So, but yeah, congrats again to the Gamecocks. Again, second national championship in the last 3 years for Shannon O'Keefe, their head coach. So some amazing things. I mean, I feel like every week we're just constantly talking about what Jacksonville State is accomplishing in one sport or another. Another one that things are going fairly well for the Gamecocks on the softball diamond. You know, Jacksonville State swept rival Kennesaw State. They're now 16-2, three-game lead at the top of the softball standings with just 3 weeks to play until the CUSA Softball Championship up there in Newark, Delaware. But in the series of the week, Liberty snagged the first two games of the weekend to clinch a series victory over WKU. Claimed sole possession of second place. Really, the most glaring takeaway from this series, I think, was WKU's mishaps. I watched a good portion of the game on Saturday, which Liberty had won 4-0, and pitching staff had allowed, or I shouldn't say pitching staff, Ryland Smith had allowed 9 walks in that game, and a lot of base running errors. There were just a lot of things that I could tell WKU was kicking themselves over, and just things that were really kind of unforgivable in this game. I mean, you looked at the box score and, you know, first two batters of the game, she walks, both come around to score on an Alexa Carrasquillo double. She walked the first two batters of the next inning, allowed another run. So really those mistakes just kind of ate away at them throughout this game. The pitching staff over the weekend issued 16 walks with just 5 strikeouts. So just, you know, you're kind of set up for failure if you're putting up numbers like that. Looking at the, you know, the Liberty side, Dot Richardson really succeeded well with her kind of pitching gymnastics. She had 5 pitchers throw at least 2 innings in this series. So, and the team finished with a 2.33 team ERA over the weekend. Gabby Mike in that pitching staff, 4 2/3 innings. She finished out both wins, only gave up a run on 5 hits in a 3-inning save on Friday. In that victory. So a big win, a big series win for the Lady Flames. Mentioned, you know, Jacksonville State sweep. Delaware, as I mentioned, on a huge hot stretch right now, having won 6 straight CUSA games, 12 of their last 15 games. They had a big run rule win Friday to kind of set the tone in a sweep of Middle Tennessee, just winning and scoring in a lot of different ways. And I know Sydney Schaefer touches on that a lot in our conversation coming up. But as we turn the page into this upcoming weekend, Liberty, another big series for them. They go on the road to FIU, somewhere where the Panthers are 21-6 at home this year. So and we, you know, kind of have notated how well and how aggressive FIU is on the base paths. That'll certainly be a factor in this game. You know, just kind of looking at on paper, Liberty has the 3rd worst stolen base allowed percentage this year. So something where they could get burned by the Panthers if they allow a lot of girls to get on base. Kennedy Bird for the Panthers kind of finding her groove right now over the last 12 games, hitting .543, 6 home runs and 15 RBIs. So not too shabby from her. And then really the biggest question I think from FIU's side is, you know, can they stop this Liberty lineup? They lead CUSA in league play in batting average, doubles, on base percentage. So what they're doing in this lineup, just really, really great things right now. So yeah, that's just kind of the quick rundown on CUSA softball. But as I mentioned, we've got an interview coming up with Delaware's Sydney Schaefer. On the other side of that interview, we'll be bringing on our associate director of communications, Eric Jones, to talk about what went on in CUSA baseball and what to watch upcoming this weekend. So stay tuned after this interview with Sydney Schaefer. All right, CUSA fans, joining us now in our special interview segment is Delaware softball player Sydney Schaefer. Sydney, how are you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Well, you guys are in the middle of a huge run right now, having won 7 straight games, 12 of your last 15, really starting to shape up for a great season for the Blue Hens as you get closer to the CUSA softball championship just a few weeks from today. What's been clicking so well for the team during this recent stretch?
Yeah, I think it's just later in season. We've been working with each other a lot. And we're finding out that we can win in a lot of different ways, using the long ball, using short game, depending on our defense, depending on our pitchers in the circle, and just with a lot of experience. And yeah.
from your perspective, what's been the biggest difference? I know you guys got out, to a little bit of a slow start at the beginning of the season, but again, now things starting to click really well. What's been the biggest difference for the team?
Yeah, I think just knowing that we can lean back on past experiences of winning games late in the game or scoring early. Like I said, scoring in different ways, winning in different ways. I think it's really good to know that we can lean on those, even in like tough times in the middle of a tough game, and just knowing that we can lean on each other and what we've already done in the past.
How much confidence is flowing through the lineup right now? And kind of how do you keep that edge without getting too comfortable here with just a few weeks to play?
Yeah, I think a lot. I think it's really good. We can go to any player in our lineup and really trust that they can get on, do a job. But I think knowing that we're not done, we still have 3 weekends left, good competition coming up, especially WKU towards the top of our conference. So I think keeping them in the back of our minds, knowing what we can do, and then knowing that they're going to be good competition, and just, yeah, knowing that.
Was there a moment or a certain game during this recent stretch where you really sat back and you were like, all right, this team is really special?
Yeah, I'd say actually probably this past weekend during Middle Tennessee, knowing that we can come out, run roll a team the first game, have to walk it off the second game, and then have a really hard day three, but then still figure out a way to win it. I think that is really special because sweeping's really hard, but knowing that we can do it a ton of different ways and using our full lineup is something that's really special.
All right, so Newark, Delaware, and the University of Delaware set to host the CUSA Softball Championship. What does it mean to you to have it's you and the team to have that opportunity to play the tournament on your home field?
I think it's super special. We haven't ever been able to do something like this. We were close to it in the CAA, didn't quite get there, but I think it's super special coming into a new conference our first year, and just making a statement at our own field. But being able to host it is going to be really special to all of us.
How much of an advantage, if any, does that play to you guys? I mean, obviously, you know, getting to be in your own places, your own beds, and you kind of know the field and know the weather there, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it'll be really nice to be in our own field. Definitely our own fans there. Hopefully there's a lot of people that show up. But I think it'll be really nice having our own facilities, all the people we know around. So it'll be a good advantage there.
Does that add any pressure to you, or is it extra motivation? I mean, what is it like in the dugout, just kind of thinking, okay, you get a few extra opportunities in front of the home crowd?
Yeah, I definitely just think more motivation to win it all, to go far in the playoffs, just for everyone there, for our university, for any staff or just regular fans that show up. I think it'll be more motivation to win it for not just us, but for everyone there.
You've been a 4-year starter, really kind of a pillar of Delaware softball in recent years. When you look back, what are you most proud of your Delaware journey?
I think I'd have to say just not only the player, but the person I've become in this program. Learning from failures, learning from teammates, older than me, younger than me, whoever they might be, learning from my coaches, just who I've become. I think probably just how I've been able to contribute to the team. I started off kind of just hitting, and now I'm more in a defensive role too. So I think that's something that I'm really proud of too.
Who's helped you a lot in that transition? As you mentioned, just kind of going from really being a offensive contributor to being more of a, multifaceted player.
Yeah, I definitely think, I can always lean on my coaches to help me get there. But I also think someone on the field that can always help me, that I can always look to guide me is definitely my teammate, Katie Schreiber. She's been a 4-year starter, always playing defense, always a solid person that I can always look to and depend on in the field. So I think knowing that she's there is something that's definitely helped me there.
Obviously something that you don't see a lot in college athletics these days, having multiple players like you and Katie that are 4-year starters at a program. And what does that say about the kind of sisterhood that you guys have in Delaware softball that's made it so special to kind of stick together and do it for the Blue Hens?
I mean, Katie and I are best friends. We spent all 4 years, been roommates all 4 years. But I just think Delaware softball is something special. It allows you to find your best friends on the team. And I think, yeah, just the program's great.
How have you seen the program develop and start to grow just in your 4 years?
Yeah, I'd say every year is very different. The personnel, the team are very different. I think our standards stay the same, but the culture definitely changes. So I think over the years, the culture's changed. Keeping the standards the same is a big thing for Delaware softball and our coaches. So, yeah.
Not to, you know, get you too emotional, but as you look back on your, you know, your whole Delaware career, you know, how do you want to be remembered by teammates and fans and staff there?
I just say probably someone who just loves the game, just wants to come out every day at practice and game days and just loves to play the game. It's a good outlet from classes or from anything else going on. So just someone who's ready to compete, loves the game. Is always there for people and their teammates, coaches, whoever it may be.
Now, this answer might be one to come because you guys have a chance to, you know, compete for a conference title on your home field. But as of today, what would you say is your favorite memory in a Delaware uniform?
I would probably say something that only our team has ever seen. But after games, after we win, we go into our team room and we just celebrate. We play music. We dance with the lights off, all that stuff. And I remember our first weekend for home, we took the series from FIU. We're dancing and the coaches all of a sudden come in with water cups. They start throwing the water cups, dancing with us. That was definitely my favorite memory.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully more locker room dances and coaches throwing water to come as you close out the rest of the year. What's your message to the Blue Hen fans as you get closer, obviously, to the end of the season, to hosting the CUSA Softball Championship?
Yeah, I'd say if you're coming out, just bring the energy. We definitely feed off you guys. So, yeah, bring the energy. And thank you all for coming.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Delaware softball player Sydney Schaefer. Again, best of luck the rest of the season, and we'll see you just a few weeks up there in Delaware.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much to Sydney for taking time out of her schedule to give us an insight on the hot stretch for Delaware softball right now and just talking about her career and, again, them getting ready to host the CUSA Softball Championship. While we're on the topic of championships, joining us now, Associate Director of Communications Eric Jones from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where he's getting ready for the 2026 CUSA Tennis Championships. He's also going to give us a little insight into baseball. But I do want to ask, you know, since we're talking about conference championships and we're talking about tennis, I know that you know, on the women's side, we have FIU, who's won three straight Conference USA championships. Middle Tennessee men have won six straight Conference USA championships. So two two kind of juggernauts that have really dominated CUSA tennis in recent years. But I gotta know, do you guys see those runs continuing, or who are the other teams that we need to be watching for this week?
Yeah, well, at least on the women's side, I will say La Tech's going in as that top-ranked seed. So I think that maybe if somebody's going to give FIU a run for their money, then maybe it's the Bulldogs that are going to come in there and try and take the crown for change. So we'll see. I definitely think, though, I mean, La Tech's got a pretty loaded roster. So I think that if anybody can do it, but I'm going to put my money on them.
Okay. All right. Eric, how about the men?
Yeah, obviously we've seen like a true dynasty in Middle Tennessee over the last several years. Jenny Borendane has done an incredible job as the head man. But, you know, Liberty has been really tight within the last couple of years since joining the league. I think every single championship match has been between those two since they've joined, and it's been real tight, chippy at times, which we love to see. But we can't look past Jack State either. They're, I feel like, have also matched up with Liberty in the past couple of years in the semifinals. Always really tough matches. I feel like those are always the longest matches because they go down to the wire every time. So I think those three teams are the ones to watch, and Middle Tennessee is going to be on their home courts here this week trying to defend the title and go for the seventh straight.
Okay, and then not to put y'all too much on the spot, give us a brief rundown on schedule, streaming, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we actually, the women's will get started tomorrow. It'll be Wednesday through Saturday. Semifinals will be Friday afternoon, championship final on Saturday morning. Semifinals championship will be on ESPN Plus. All others will be live scored on our website on Ion Court. Men starts Friday, goes through Sunday with the championship final at 11 a.m. Central Time on Sunday. Semifinals and championship final as well on ESPN Plus. So, we'll have our championship central site updated as quickly as we can after these matches get going. And yep, all times and everything will be on CUSA, conferenceusa.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, got tennis covered. Let's talk a little bit of baseball, because we had a series that a lot of eyes across the country were obviously on. We talked plenty about it last week, had a lot of great content that you yourself, Eric, were putting out, and our whole team was getting out to really promote and build up a huge series. So let's talk. I mean, Liberty of Jack State, man, you know, kind of a surprising outcome somewhat, we think, with that one. But give me the rundown on what went on this weekend in Lynchburg.
Yeah. First off, it was the buildup going into the weekend was incredible. Conference USA getting all sorts of love from some national outlets all week long. And obviously previewing that series was a really fun one. Two teams, as we talked about, with incredible pitching depth, including bullpen, which we got to see all of this weekend. We got to see the seesaw back and forth battles at the plate as well. So I think all in all, it's at least from the conference perspective, we really saw what we wanted to see, and both teams battling in each game and having a chance at the end of every single game there. But starting off with Friday night, Ben Blair, obviously, everyone talks about him being the ace of the league, really. And he was dialed early on. I mean, just looked real, real sharp. His stuff was there. You could tell adrenaline was going. And he settled in real, real quickly. And I think they got through the fifth or so, and they had a lead. And Jack State put together a big crooked number there in the middle innings. Ended up taking game 1-8-4. I think kind of stunned the Liberty folks, in a sense. You know, Ben Blair doesn't go out there and lose on Friday nights. That just doesn't happen. So I know Jack State really felt good about that one and getting that win there. But you got to give credit to Liberty on bouncing back Saturday. I think this was the best game of the weekend by far. Every time I think I watched just about every single pitch of this game. And every time I looked up, they were trading blows. And, you know, Jack State had a 6-4 lead there late in the game. I think it's seventh or eighth inning when Easton Swofford hit an RBI single or two-run single up the middle to tie it, and then Landon Silly with the walk-off knock in the bottom of the ninth to win it 7-6. So, and that handed Jack State their first loss of conference play. They started conference play 13-0, which is unheard of in baseball. I don't care what level you're at. Like, going undefeated in baseball is a very hard thing to do. So that was super exciting to see that run from the Gamecocks. And I know they'll keep moving along. But on to Sunday, we had a rubber match. A lot of eyes again on this game. Bradley Sayak for Liberty was going, and he still does not get a whole lot of love. And that just with being how good Ben Blair has been for them. But Bradley Sayak, he's now owns the league best ERA at, I think, 1.6, somewhere in there. So he's the only pitcher that was a sub-2 ERA right now in Conference USA after the weekend. But he looked really, really sharp. And they ended up taking that one 4-2, and a big, big series win for Liberty. I know they've been looking for that key series win since they've joined the league. I know last year wasn't the way they wanted. Even the year before, have just kind of struggled in the conference season. Always play really good midweek schedule against their ACC opponents, and always seem to do pretty well. But for them to get that series win, especially after dropping the series in Missouri State early on at home, was huge for the Flames. I could see social media on their end was buzzing afterwards. So all in all, a really, really good series. Well played, hard fought, but good for, you know, Liberty and Coach LaCroix and bouncing back after the Friday night loss and getting those two wins and winning the series.
Yeah, big week for the Flames. They got some love from the, you know, the national poll side as well. So, and I think, I mean, you bring up Missouri State, a team that, you know, I don't want to say forgetting about, but I it almost feels like they're not getting as much of the love that, you know, Liberty and Jack State are. So yeah, I mean, a lot of great teams at the top of the league. The one thing I wanted to ask you about, so having watched the Liberty recap from this weekend, you know, I kind of picked up on one thing that, you know, from what the coaches were telling Liberty after that game 2 win, how much Jack State really had to throw out there just to try and scrap through that Saturday win. And they were like, hey, you know, they've gone through all their guys. We've got a lot, you know, we've still got some in the tank. How much do you think that played into them being able to lock up that last game Sunday?
No, no doubt. And especially in a series like that, that's the beauty of baseball is no game is like any other game that you play. You're having to piece together bullpen, and this will really show, and especially come tournament time, like bullpen depth is huge in this league because you get to games 3 and 4 of a week or weekend, and you really start to see some guys, all right, I can't go anymore. Who's next? Who's next up? And we really saw that Cooper Harrington for Liberty out of Penn. I think he had saves, or he got the win on Saturday and got the save on Sunday. He looked unbelievable. I watched him strike out the side in the ninth to win the series on Sunday. And he brings that like real closer mentality. But again, not like Jack State's still got guys too. Jackson Sleeper, who's been a back end guy for them the last couple of years, incredible arm for them. Both these teams have really, really good depth. And you don't, unfortunately, get to see that at the mid-major level all that often anymore. So for these bullpens to be depth, it can take them a long way. And obviously both top 30 in the RPI right now too. So looking good as at-large teams as of right now. And, you know, we'll look at this weekend a little bit, but Liberty's got a big week again, you know, midweek against Duke. And then they're going on the road to play at DBU this weekend, who we got to give some love to as well. They've won every conference series. Not a lot of people are talking about them. Maybe aren't playing their, you know, DBU brand of baseball this year, but they're still winning games. They got their first sweep this weekend on the road at Sam Houston. That'll be my series to watch. Liberty going to take on DBU this weekend, but a lot of fun baseball on the horizon for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And DBU finally getting that coveted sweep that we've been mentioning they really needed. Missouri State also picking up a big sweep to kind of stake their claim towards the top of the standings as well. You mentioned Liberty DBU coming up. DBU's got, what, two of the top three teams in the league still to play on their schedule. So a lot to prove for the Patriots. But anything else baseball wise that we needed to kind of stay up to date on from this weekend or any other big series upcoming?
Yeah, and just to hit on Missouri State a little bit more, I mean, obviously they went on the road, played a Delaware team that's struggling right now. But to win the way they did, Delaware has proven that they can swing the bats and stay in games with their offense. So for Missouri State to kind of just put them away in all of those games and to keep on pushing forward, they're still, I think, 16th right now in RPI. Fell back a few spots just playing Delaware this weekend, but a team, Gabe Ressler, he was our hitter of the week this week, was unbelievable at the plate, hit over 500 and I think 19 at bats. So big sample size and some big numbers he put up this weekend offensively. So a team that's really fun to watch. And I think you look at those top four teams and DBU's, like you said, has a lot to play for still. They still have a lot of our top opponents to play. Not sitting in a great spot RPI wise for an at large, but if they start winning some games and they still have a few Big 12 opponents on the docket. So it'll be fun to watch this weekend and keep tuned. We're halfway through the conference slate. So it's coming up quick, conference time.
I know. Yeah, seriously. All right. Awesome. Well, best of luck with everything out there in Murfreesboro with the tennis championships this week and weekend. And thanks for jumping on. And we'll be talking to you soon when you get back.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
That'll do it for us here in Dallas. Thank you so much for joining another episode of CUSA Insider. As always, you can stay up to date on current and future episodes. Follow us on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. Also, follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. Love to hear from you about any feedback you have about the show, any questions you have for our guests, any ideas for guests. We just appreciate any feedback you have. Again, this has been another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Yonas, signing off.